September 4, 2021, it's What for Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Swap for Pedro show. Happy Saturday. Started off with an alternate version. In fact, it's incomplete, right? They clammed. They had to do another take. So that should tell you, if John Coltrane and his band can blow clams, so can you. Like a skateboard, right? You fall down, you get back up. No problem. And then we had a Paloran from you. Speaking of you, because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I got with me from Budapest, Andres, Erno, and Adam from you. Welcome aboard, gentlemen.
Hi, hello. Yeah, hi, Mike.
Hey.
Okay, and we got to give Giacomo a big credit for making the connect over at Rare Noise Music.
Yeah.
Records, Rare Noise something. Music? Records?
I can't Records.
Remember. Okay, Rare Noise Records. And I just, right, Brandon Seabrook, Mike Pride, Three Layer Cake. So I'm also a Rare Noise Record fartist. Now, who wants to go? I want to talk about you guys' music before you got together as a band. So who wants to go first?
Maybe it's me, Andres, the drummer.
Okay, Andres. What's your earliest musical memory, please?
As a player or listener?
Just anything to do with music.
As
young as possible.
Yeah, it's my father's record collection, and he was listening to a lot of music, mostly like Bob Dylan, Rolling Stones, Beatles, some classical music, but I like that too, everything he...
Okay. It's trippy because you turned into a rock and roll jazz drummer, free jazz drummer, okay? So that's interesting, though. That shows to go, you write music as music. It's all connected. So I'm curious, first record you bought with your own money, like not your pop's record collection, but you.
I think it was a Hungarian album. Have you heard about Bakta Zuhalotki Mek? I don't know. Do you have an English name? It's a VHK. It's a Hungarian punk band.
Might not know, but shit. Later on. Tell me where I can hear it, because I'd like to check it out. I know there was a band from older rock days. What were they called? They were kind of prog rock, right?
No, it's more
No, I'm talking about the band I know, not VHK.
Okay.
I would like to learn about VHK. So you got some VHK record. And what was the first gig you went and saw?
It was, I think it was Chuck Berry.
Wow.
My father... brought to the concert, which is funny because my father never really went to concerts, but for some reason he went to this concert and brought me along. So,
well, you know, Chuck Berry had a big influence on a lot of people. So
rock and roll
kind of ambassador, huh? Okay, let me ask you about school. Were you in the choir or the marching band or something?
No, nothing. In my family, there was no one playing music, and
not at school either. No program
when
at school.
Sorry?
No program at school?
No.
Okay. I'm just asking because, I can't read mine, so I have to ask you questions. So how did you get on the drum set, Andres?
First, I started with the guitar, but there was a guy in our street who already played the guitar, and he told me that I should play the drums, and I agreed, but because I played the guitar and drums simultaneously. And he told me that I should focus on one of these. And since there were only him and me who played music on the street, we decided to split it up. And this is how
It's your buddy's fault that you're a drummer.
Absolutely.
And what's his name? We should give him some credit.
Bence.
Okay, Bence. Yeah. Big thank you. Yeah. Gracias. Okay. Now. When did you get your first drum set? How'd you get it?
I just bought it. You know, in Hungary, when you at the time, it was like in 1992.
Okay.
There was this Czechoslovakian drum set called Amati, and it was quite cheap.
Oh, good.
Not too good, but quite cheap. So I could buy a drum set with like 8 toms, lots of cymbals.
Wow.
Cheap, but
Now you and your buddy, does this band do gigs or is it just a jam band, practice band?
when at the time I bought the drums, I somehow got in a band. I could not even set up my drum set, but I already had gigs.
Wow.
So there was someone else helping me. I was really brave, and I thought I'm really good at the time.
Do you remember your first gig?
Yeah, I remember. It was like it was in a school, like 500 people. We really could not really play, but yeah.
That's a big crowd for your first gig.
Yeah. Especially that we could not play well, but...
What kind of material? Was it original, or were you covering other songs?
It was covers. I remember playing Hey Joe from Jimi Hendrix and...
That's that Jimmy song. He did a version, but he didn't write it.
Yeah.
So you were doing a cover of a cover.
Yeah.
Well, but would you call the gig a success?
I don't remember that. Sorry, I just
remember. Well, did they throw shit? I mean, did they boo you off? Say, get the fuck out?
No.
Then it's a success.
Yeah. You were the opening band for a well-known band.
Yeah. Oh, Battle of the Bands. Okay. Kind of like talent show. Yeah.
I think we also played a song from Cream.
Ah, good band.
I don't know which one. And that time Ginger Baker was my favorite drummer.
And I can't tell you, Andres, how much Jack Bruce influenced me.
Oh yeah, okay. Cream was really my absolute.
You know, it's great to hear that, because whenever people talk trios, they always want to tell me about Rush. And I'm not from Rush. Yeah, I'm from Cream. I'm not from Rush.
Yeah.
Or Jimi Hendrix Experience, but not Rush. Nothing wrong. They're great guys, good musicians. But I just come from another kind of trio.
Yeah.
All right. Look, I want to play. You guys sent me Cerberus. Cerberus, right?
Yes.
Three-headed dog.
Yes.
Yeah!
Show. That was you with Cerberus. And then Evil House Party, brand new. Keep going on. And Vuce after that with Arena. Graf, no balls. Both those from Netherlands. So. Julian Lage, this is one of Nels Klein's favorite guitar players. With Squint, Balmus Prendon, working on new music. I think they're trying to record together remotely. Beeple People, brand new from the Suns. That's with two U's, people. Witness Protection. And then brand new out of a Hokkaido part of Japan, Car Thief School with Song for Kyrgyzstan. And finally, you with Dear Johan. Okay, who's next? Erno?
It's me, Adam.
Okay, Adam, please bring your earliest music memory.
Ooh, it's not too easy to recall, but I think...
Yeah, but it's the Watt for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Yeah, I think it was nearly the same experience as Andras had, because I think it was also my father's record collection, and I had two older sisters who had, especially one of them, had a, so her musical taste was a big influence on me, because she was listening to Nirvana and Metallica. And that's why I started, I think I was like 8 or 9 years old, and I started drawing these long haired guitarist guys, and then my father bought me a guitar. So it was, the influence of my sister with Metallica and Guns N' Roses and Nirvana and later Black Sabbath. I think these are my earliest memories. Of course, before that, I had some, I don't know, like children's songs.
It sounds like your father picked your instrument. He didn't get you a bass guitar. He didn't get you a drum set. He got you a guitar. Why?
I don't know. I think because it was him who wanted to play the guitar.
Ah, yeah. So he's going to live with you.
I think that was the reason.
Yeah. Makes sense. It's a good thing.
Yeah.
At least he'd, what'd you have to do once you got it? Did you have to take lessons?
Yeah, actually, I grew up in a small village in the eastern part of Hungary, and, there was this music school that was about to form there. And so all the kids from the village went there, took the chance to go there and study music. And so first it was like, I don't know, like 40 students. And after that, after like 3 months, it was only like 3 people. and I was one of the, I was
you
one
stuck
of them.
You stuck it out.
Yeah. So actually I started taking lessons, but I didn't really learn theory or any kind of that stuff. We just started playing songs with my teacher.
Okay. What about the first record you bought with your own money, Adam?
I think it was here in the Eastern Bloc, we had this, these pirate cassettes, which were not like original, but you know, basically like.
No, we got them here too at the swap meets and stuff, especially with the Latin music. Yeah.
And it was very cheap. And it was available in my village, so I think I started using my pocket money like every week to buy a new cassette. Uh-huh. I think the first one was like I don't know, it must have been like a Metallica bootleg, like a, I don't know, like what, some live.
Well, you said your sister's record collection had Metallica, so maybe a
little
influence.
Yeah. But
what about the first gig you went and saw?
Ooh, since I lived in a village, I didn't really have the chance to go and see gigs. But I remember that once there was this Christmas party in the village, in a community center or something like that.
Sure.
And there were these older guys who played like covered songs from, I don't know, so they played rock music. Something that occurred like really heavy to me, and I was like completely amazed by that. So I think that was the first time. So it was like a local band, who played like, I don't know, who played some Metallica songs too. And I loved everything about Metallica back
then. Yeah, everything about Metallica. Okay. I'll tell you, they had that first baseman, nothing against Robert. He's very good too. And so was Jason. You just
yeah.
They wouldn't put him in the mix. But that Cliff guy was really good too. Yeah, a lot of good bass guys in that band. What about what you said? You're taking lessons at this music school. You're only three guys left. But do you start jamming with your friends, like garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
Actually, there were like a few kids who play music, and our parents encouraged us to play together. So actually I was 11 years old when we formed our first band, and there was this music teacher who supported us and actually told us what to play. So it wasn't really like a own band, but we really enjoyed that.
Yeah,
so we played cover
like
songs,
a little puppet show.
Exactly.
Now, can you remember, like Adam did, about his? He remembers his first gig. Can you remember your first gig?
Andres. Yeah. I think it was like the same Christmas party at the community center I told you about, but like a year later.
Okay.
And we played these Christmas songs with this kids band.
Okay.
But I cannot really recall any of the songs. I only remember that I was very scared before going on stage.
I still am, Adam. I know what you mean.
Yeah,
you probably did some fucking Jingle Bells or shit, right?
Something like that. Even worse. The
Hungarian version of Jingle Bells.
You can't imagine that. Yeah, that's even worse.
Now, there's some good old-timey Hungarian. Everybody's got good music and bad. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to my favorite part, the bass.
Yeah.
Arno.
Okay, hey.
Please bring your no, both Andres, Adam, beautiful stories. I love it. But now Arno's turn. So, Arno, please bring me your earliest musical memory.
Yeah, for me, it's the same like the guys. So my...
Your father's record collection.
Exactly. So, yes.
No, thank God for pops with
first.
Good record collections. Okay, I'm into it.
Yeah. It's a tradition in Hungary, you know.
So, the place where you grew up, was there any musical instruments in the pad, in the house?
No. The other thing, what my father... did like it was like Adam's father, so he wrote me a guitar. But for me, so not for himself, for me.
How old? And, how old?
My father?
No, or you at this time.
Sorry?
At this time, how old were you?
Well, I guess I was 5 or 6.
Wow, and that's pretty young.
Yeah.
You're going to be a guitar player.
Sorry?
Your father said to you, you're going to be a guitar player.
I don't remember clearly, but maybe he said. But the other thing was, I remember one more thing when for my birthday, my grandmother brought me a Hungarian band called Kolako. It was a cassette, and my grandmother brought me that very good music, and it's a mix of a folk music, Hungarian folk music, and Hungarian poems and something like that. So they're mixing these kind of things in their music. So I really like nowadays that this band. So
did you have to take lessons?
Sorry?
Did you have to take like? Now here's the guitar. Now you got to take some lessons. Was it like that?
No, because I went to the elementary school, which is based on music. Oh. So I sing in a choir, and went to studying. First memory, I wanted to study guitar, but they didn't have any place. So the teacher told me, okay, you have to go to studying violin. So so I studied violin for 10 years or something like this, wow, 8 or 10.
And they're a lot different, even though it's got strings like a guitar, tuned in fifths, no frets.
Exactly.
Yeah, you have to learn to use this bow. It's very interesting stuff. But how do you get on bass, Arno?
I think I was 13 or 14, something like this. One of my good friends and me starting to playing together. We made a band, and he played on guitar. He wanted to play on the guitar, and I got the bass. So I didn't know how.
You did it to fill a role, I hear this so much. I didn't really pick bass, but nobody else would play it, so yeah, I did it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's a good thing for Mike Watt to hear. But you know, look, I got on bass because D Boone's ma put me on. I was 12 years old. I didn't even know what a bass was. So it's trippy how things happen. Now, did you and your buddy make a band that played gigs? Do you remember your first gig, like Adam and Andrus?
No, with that band, we didn't have any gigs. But a few years later, I have a drummer guy. He was older than me, and he started to thinking and playing music like the Meshuga, you know, kind of the Swedish band. Do you know them, Meshuga?
Meshuga.
They are a Swedish metal band.
I know the word Meshuga. It's
the same.
Meshuga is Yiddish for a crazy person.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's where it comes from.
Exactly. Oh, okay. I'm slow learner. Sorry.
No problem. So they use this Yiddish word.
Okay. Yeah. So you know it's a lot in show business. So I learned these words like spiel and schmuck and putz and all this.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So look, we're gonna have to continue because we're at the end of the first hour. Of September 4, 2021 edition of Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, you from Budapest. Hold tight for hour two. September 4, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro Show. start off the second hour with Morja for Agustin Bella. Bella, a common name in Hungary. In fact, we had a great Hollywood movie actor, Bela Lugosi. Right?
Exactly.
Hungarian. He was Hungarian, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's
Because
the title of Morja is for Agustin Bela. So I'm thinking Bella, a very, very common Hungarian name. Okay, from
you. Exactly.
And then after that was Carl 2000, Pump It Out, Plasterman from Ithaca, New York, Contessa of Blood, and finally Hassassin, you. So back to Erno and your first gig. Erno, tell me about it.
My first gig was in New Year's night, I played this gig with my drummer friend, and we started at midnight. So we were the New Year surprise.
Countdown.
Yeah.
Countdown band.
Exactly, and it was very funny. I really like it. So that was my first feeling and first...
First gig. So what was the material?
First gig and the first feeling with the jazz and, you know, with this kind of free things when somebody playing free and...
Okay, because I was going to ask you about the material because, your other guys, they did covers, but you did free improvisation?
Yes. A lot of free improvisation and a few written things. So this music is based on free improvisation. So it was a good memory. It is a good memory for me.
Yeah, you would say the gig was a success, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Great. Because you can only have your first gig once. That's why I always ask about it.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to play Lady Climax. And then I want to know how you got together, okay?
Right.
Thank you. Yeah.
For Pedro show that took the music start off with Lady Climax from You. Then Brett Goodside out of Milwaukee with Purgatory, speaking of Mr. Dante Alighieri. You, Samarana Caro Sada Dina. Is that close a little bit? Sorry.
Beautiful. Sumirana Caro Sada Dina.
Sounds a lot better when you say it, Andres. Now, Les Grease Grease with Brother Tobio, and finally, Suma, you. So, how did you get together? All three of you guys can answer.
Actually, I think first Andres and Ernest started rehearsing because they discovered that they had something common interest in, like, this, I would say, like, weird time signatures and something like that, and like African rhythms. So, and you know, like,
well,
not
well, Adam. Adam, can I ask you, how did how did Andres meet Erno?
You're asking me about this.
Well, I'm asking Andres. You said, well, when I ask you how you started, you says, well, you started with Andres and Erno. So I'm wondering, okay, if they started the band, how did they meet?
Actually, you know, we had this song for Agoston Bila.
Yeah.
And actually, he has many bands, and he was the band leader. And I was playing in his band for a few years that time.
Yeah.
And he decided to make a new formation, and he brought Erno in. So this is how we.
Okay. So you guys, you met by playing in Mr. Bella Agustin's band. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
I understand.
But maybe Andrew remembers otherwise. I don't. This is how I remember. But,
yeah, but in this band here, you're doing Mr. Agustin's music. So you and Erno decide to like compose together, and Adam hears about this. Or Adam, aren't you still in the village? How did you get to Budapest?
No. That was long ago. So actually, I started learning, like for high school, I already went, for a town for high school. I mean, and after that, you know, in Hungary, in order to learn music, you have to move to Budapest because that's the place.
The big
that's
town.
The only place.
The big town.
Basically.
Okay. But, and how did you meet? Now I know how Andres and Erno met. How did you meet these two guys?
Actually, I already know them, like, because we have like a pretty small scene, even in Budapest, and I already knew both of these guys.
Okay.
And so actually when they called me to join them, I was pretty happy about it because I saw that they were like really good players, and I thought that this is like a chance for me to learn a lot of new stuff.
Yeah.
And I didn't really hesitate, and I just was like, hell yeah, and I just joined. And I since then, and today also, I still learn a lot from these guys. So
okay. Well, can you remember the first jam, the first U jam?
Yeah, I remember it pretty well. There was this small practice room, like in some factory building, like, you know, where the places where all the practice rooms here are in Hungary.
Was it in the slaughterhouse?
Actually, it was in the slaughterhouse. Yes, it was very inspiring there.
No, you don't know. the first time I played in Berlin, it was a Schlachthaus. A lot of those things got repurposed. And also industrial industrial areas. United States, too.
Here, too, yeah.
Okay, so a little practice room, okay.
Yeah, and they already had these weird grooves that were playing, so I just started to, I don't know, I just... First, I remember the first, I couldn't really understand what was going on. So I was doing something above, like on top of what they were doing, like trying not to be hijacked by all these weird rhythms that they were.
But I like this process because this isn't the typical thing. Usually the rhythm section is after. I like this idea of the rhythm section first.
Actually,
this is what gives you its kind of sound, because it is very strong in the rhythm section.
That's true.
I'm not saying the guitar is not, or the sax is singing, all of it's very good, but I like this idea that, and who named the band?
Me.
It was my
fault. Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. It's just you gotta call it something, right? And do you remember the all three of you guys? You remember the first U gig?
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
I think it was like.
Hey, I asked that question. And a lot of guys, they can't answer it, okay? So not of course.
okay.
So tell me about it, though.
At the Nicole Verglashi concert. Yeah, I think it was like... I think it was like 9 years ago, and there was this jazz festival, actually, it was like in a factory building or something like that, and there were like, I mean, that was a pretty okay festival. So it was like, we were already like established players here in Budapest. So there were some people, like there was like a crowd there. People were interested.
Wanted to hear what was going on, right?
Yeah.
Right.
They were interested about that. And so it was like a success.
Great.
I'm pretty sure that we've come a long way since then, but that was still pretty good.
Yeah, but you only start once, right? And so how long from first playing together do you guys make your first record?
2 years, maybe?
No, less.
Less?
I guess it was... a year and a half or something like this.
And you,
was released? We recorded it.
I think we recorded it in September of
13,
yeah.
Yes, yeah, so one year after
We're going to have to continue, guys, because we're at the end of the second hour. September 4th, 2021, in addition, Watt Peter show special guest, you from Budapest. Hold tight for hour three. September 4, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro show. Juan Prepeva Show. Start off the third hour with Partir from You. Ray Shin after that, Sex Bottles. Then Jima Blue from You. So, yeah, you had a success there with that gig. And, that, and shortly after you do your first album. How much time you spend?
Like, what do you mean by this? In the studio? Or
yeah, for that first record. Some dudes do them quick. Some guys take forever. I'm curious.
The first recording process was special for us because it was like, actually everything happened quickly because in our first album, there is this guest saxophone player from Norway called Kjetil Møster.
Great playing. I love it.
Yeah. And so we invited him to play with us. So he came for like 3 days to Budapest. And we had 2 gigs, one in Budapest, one in Austria. And we also had like 2 rehearsals. And after that, we spent our third day in the studio and we recorded everything in 1 day.
1 day, yeah. Fuck.
Yeah.
Yes, that's bitching.
We had no choice, actually.
Yeah, I understand because you're in the moment with the music and that the band was available only a short time, yeah. I'm curious about the U process. About coming up with your own material. Do the individual members all compose? Do you guys make demos? Or is it done by jamming together, collective? How?
We don't really do make demos. We do the, you know, the good old way of, like, someone is bringing up an idea, like a riff, or I don't know, like a beat, or a melody, or some kind of, like...
Motif,
yes, exactly. And we start jamming. And we just try to, you know, we try to play it to the point when every one of us can relate to it somehow. And we only, until everyone is happy with it.
And then the second album?
I think this is the process that we, so there are like a few songs that...
Or what I'm asking is, the second album done differently than the first album, right?
Yeah. I mean, the process was nearly the same. I mean, the writing process.
Okay.
But that time we had like 4 or 5 days in the studio, which often it proved to be a little bit too much. So because
I'm going to ask you about the third album after we play this.
Right.
Shashka. I'm learning.
Yes.
Last music for this edition, Shashka from You. And an electric guitar noise tribute to Peter Rayburn. This is side B, Thurston Moore made. We lost Brother Peter. I mean, bad heart. I think it was in his family. Maybe only 53. And a lot of my buddies, you know, played with this man. And because he's a great experimenter and a real good soul. It was a blow. It was a blow, you know. That's the thing. But back to You. The third album. It's going to come out soon, right?
Yes.
Okay. How does this one differ than number one and number two?
I think it's basically because of the different influences, the different kind of music that we were into while we were writing it. And I think it was because we were into the beautiful weirdness of gamelan music, like the Indonesian gamelan.
Sure, sure, love it.
Yeah, yeah, we were amazed by the, you know, it was like, it's like really far out and
yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, because it's percussive, but then it has so much harmonic content.
Yes, exactly. Yes.
All the overtones, everything combining. Yeah, it's very trippy, very trippy. Indonesia, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, great stuff. Okay, so you had, what about the way of doing it? Like second album, too many days in the studio. First album, one day in the studio. What about this third one?
It was like 4 days, so it wasn't like 5 days with the second one. It was 4 days, but I think that the big difference with it was like that somehow we had like more experience by the how to make a U album,
right.
And I think this is like our like the most mature album that we made, because I think we started thinking about the material, what we had, like how to turn these songs into an album. And I think this was the first time that we started to pay attention of, you know, the wholeness of the thing.
Yeah, like an album as a piece of itself and not just a collection of songs.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. And maybe that only comes with maturity and playing with each other for a little while and stuff. Do you guys ever write in the studio? You get your stuff all worked out beforehand? But you, it sounds like in your compositions, you leave spaces open for improvisation, right?
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. We leave space for that. So we had the songs, but we knew that it will work if we don't fix everything. So
what you mean is like you got the forms, but you got places where you can bring
Yes, absolutely. And on this album, we have two guests. And one of them is Bálint Bolcsó, who played live electronics.
Yeah.
And we played with him before, also on the second album. But now we like, not long before, I think we, like 1.5 months before the recording session, we decided to make the album. So we, and until that point, the songs weren't finished. So they were just
in progress.
They were forms. Yeah, it was, they were in progress. And that time we decided to invite a singer, a gamelan singer who, who happened to be in Hungary, because normally she's called Dora Györfi, and normally she's living in Java, Indonesia,
right,
because
she's
playing in local groups as a singer. And but because of the pandemics, she had to come back to Hungary. So we called her.
To me, this makes the biggest difference. You know, when you hear her sing it, but you can tell it's you though. It's just you, like with different kind of salt and pepper, you know, paprika or some.
Yeah, I mean,
it's still you, but it's, to me, I hear continuity between all three records. I really dig. But they're not the same record. It's not same thing over rerun. So it's very interesting. Yeah, I like what you're doing with you. Really. And where can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, we have a Facebook page. We have a website.
Yeah, what's the You website?
It's called BudapestCollective.com, which is like a small agency in Budapest. So it's budapestcollective.com.
Okay.
/U.
J-U, people. They pronounce J's like we do Y's. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a lot of Espanol here, so they make it like an H. Everybody's got their own way to do Y or J. It's been a big honor to have you on the show, guys. When you get new record number 4, will you come back on the show? We can play it and talk about it.
Absolutely, yes. Thanks.
We would love to.
My invite to you all.
Thank you.
And again, we got to say, grazie, Giacomo.
Yeah,
Rare Noise Music Records. Okay, people, it's been September 4, 2021. Just watch Peter. So keep your powder down.